This morning, we conclude our Epiphany journey with Jesus and some of his disciples up on the mountaintop. We see Jesus revealed in glory and surrounded by the light of God. We wish to stay with him there forever amid the glow of this revelation, but that is not part of the plan. We must return and continue on the path that Jesus is on, to follow him, to walk the road where it will ultimately lead. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our reading this morning is from the 17th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Hope you're sated once the sermon is finished. I've often said about myself that I was raised up in Mardi Gras. I learned to count to 144 before I could count to 20. You see, 12 groups of beads, 12 times, is 144 beads, which equals one gross of beads. I grew up in a family-run Mardi Gras business. This is what we did on Sunday afternoons from Thanksgiving Day until the day of Mardi Gras often. I find myself telling people on the parade route to pick up those broken beads, because you see, all you need to do is take those broken beads, light a candle, put the two ends of the broken beads together, and voila, you have a brand new pair of beads. Beads used to come on bolts. Now they come, let me just tell you, I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you're doing Mardi Gras these days, you're pretty lightweight. We used to have to roll out in the days when we walked to school in the snow we used to have to roll out beads, measure them to 24 inches, cut them, and fuse them together with a candle so that the wax and the plastic would melt together. I rode on my first Mardi Gras float when I was 7 years old. You see, I am Mardi Gras royalty. I was page to the king of the crew of Ferret. He was my uncle. Later, I became a maid, and as an adult, I spent countless hours seed-beading Mardi Gras costumes and gowns. I guess I've always had an insider's view of Mardi Gras. And still, I am somewhat ambivalent about Mardi Gras. I know, generally, people either hate Mardi Gras or they love Mardi Gras. For some, Mardi Gras is a chance to travel. The kids are out of school. You can go on one of those family vacations that Adam talked about. For many years, I dated a trial lawyer, and we went to Aspen, Colorado every Mardi Gras for about 4 or 5 years. Remember in 1979 when the police went on strike? We already had our tickets bought. We didn't even care. Yet there are folks for whom Mardi Gras is the high holy season of their year. They wait and they prepare all year for that one ball, that one parade, that one party or event. And for these, there is a post-Mardi Gras traumatic syndrome of depression. Yet if you are fully into Mardi Gras, you know that Mardi Gras begins for the next year the day after Mardi Gras. So you're only down for a short period of time. On Thursday evening, I attended the Crew of Muses for the first time. As I mentioned earlier, Thursday had been a difficult day. Early in the morning, I had learned of the tragic death of my dear friend, Jeff Phillips, and the sadness and the pall hanging over the Alexandria community. And quite honestly, I really wanted to be anywhere but at a Mardi Gras parade on Thursday night. Nevertheless, my good friends Cindy and David Qualls were headed to Muses, so I went along to meet them on the parade right that night. So this is another thing about Mardi Gras. It is hard, if not impossible, once that one is there, not to get excited, not to fully engage in the foolishness that is Mardi Gras. Have you ever tried to just sit back and watch a Mardi Gras parade as though you did not care if you ever got anything? Has it worked for you? Well, you're a better man than I am, Jim. For me, I just, you know, we were sitting back. It was so crowded, and I don't really like crowds that much, so I like to sit back from the crowd. And yet, even more than out of self-defense, I found myself raising my hands and shouting, "Throw me something, miss," because it's an all-woman's crew. This Sunday represents a significant transition for Christians in the calendar year of the church. Thus far, we have moved through Advent and Christmas into Epiphany. This is the last Sunday of Epiphany. The text for our hearing this morning emphasizes the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God, the manifestation of Jesus' divine self for our sin, for our sake, and for our salvation. On Saturday, March 11th, I'm inviting each and all of you to a leaders' summit to be held here from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on that Saturday. This leaders' summit is not just for the elected leaders of the church, although I said to them in our recent meeting that they are expected. If you are elected, you are expected. But this leaders' summit is for everyone in this church. For everyone who desires to be a part of our moving forward into our next 40 years, Aldersgate United Methodist Church is in midlife. And I want our midlife crisis to have more of a fruit than a Corvette. You can laugh. That was supposed to be funny. This leaders' summit is for everyone who wants to have a voice and a part of what we do here. There is not a unilateral vision that comes from the pastor. The vision bubbles up from the people. And we need you to come and be a part of what it will mean to push Aldersgate forward at least another 40 years. I cannot stress enough the importance of your attendance at this summit. The church's future depends upon it. And this time we'll look at the mission statement of our church, which you've already adopted as Share the Life. We'll look at our future. And we will talk about the calling that we have to fulfill as disciples of Jesus Christ in Aldersgate, in our greater Slidell and New Orleans community, and in the world. As we are called to make disciples for the transformation of the world, we are first called to be disciples. We are called to journey along with Jesus in our lives. We are called to go up to the mountaintop when Jesus commands us and behold his glory. And we are called to come down from the mountaintop into the ordinary, that we might bring that light into the lives of others. This is not just some historic story that Jesus told to the disciples back thousands of years ago. This Bible is organic. These scriptures are life-giving. And if we are to share the life, we are to know the scriptures, and we are to find power and truth and trust in them. In our text this morning, we see Jesus revealed as God's Son. Matthew describes not only Jesus' transfiguration, but he fully describes the effect that Jesus' transfiguration has on James and John, and bless his heart, Peter. In the text, Matthew describes Jesus in this way, "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white." Clearly, Matthew wants us to know that what happens to Jesus on the top of that mountain is more than an external transfiguration. It is a spiritual transformation. It is the very divinity of Jesus shining through his humanity. You see, this was for Jesus and for those with him, the absolute assurance that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. And more than a simple assurance or affirmation, it was a supra-affirmation that all that Jesus had proclaimed about himself was also indeed true. "This is my Son, my beloved. Listen to him," as the voice of God booms across the mountaintop that day. And more than that, it was a great way for Jesus to begin the end of his earthly ministry. From the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus will complete his journey at the cross of Calvary. If 40 days in the wilderness was a time of preparation for Jesus' earthly ministry, then this time on the Mount of Transfiguration was a time of preparation for Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, and ultimately to the cross. You see, the end of our season of Epiphany marks for us a very important time of preparation as well. As we end the season of Epiphany, we enter in to the season of Lent. What begins on Ash Wednesday for the Christian is the Lenten journey of self-examination, of sacrifice, of self-denial, of serious contemplation and servant ministry. Throughout this season, we, through faith, take seriously our call to follow Jesus, the revealed Son of God. A few years ago, while on vacation, yes, Adam, I went on a vacation, and I had the opportunity to see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. And I did it in a special way. We flew in a little private jet low over the canyon to the south rim of the Grand Canyon. From our view, we could see the canyon forged by the power of the Colorado River cutting through layer of rock after rock. It was breathtaking. In preparation for seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time, I read a little bit about the background and the history of the canyon. It's pretty amazing stuff, all in all. Things like the Grand Canyon is part of the Colorado River Basin, which has been developed over the past 40 million years. Fascinating stuff, really. But as fascinating as all that explaining and scientific posturing is, I know this. There is no doubt in my mind that the Grand Canyon is among God's most beautiful pieces of creation. And the beautiful vistas and the colors are a magnificent painting, hand-painted by God himself. Yes, mountains are high, holy places where God encounters happen. Moses received the Ten Commandments on the mountain. Elijah heard the still small voice of God while hiding in a cave on a mountain. Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac on a mountain. The city of Jerusalem was built on the top of a mountain. And here Jesus is transfigured. There is a certain majesty to mountains, isn't there? Being high on a mountain offers to one the vistas and a clear trust and belief that God is indeed present. This is also true of the spiritual mountaintops of our lives. Things like Emmaus and Curcio, retreat times, long dedicated study of the Bible that culminate in a group of people that make lifelong bonds and friendships, all centered and based in Jesus Christ. There are many spiritual mountaintops in our lives, and these kind of spiritual mountaintops can give us a high. They can give us a strength, an encouragement, a perfect peace. While life in the valley can be full of the struggle and brokenness of this world, mountaintops can give us hope and healing and power to move forward through the valleys and whatever comes our way in life. What happened on the top of that mountain that day? First, Peter, James, and John beheld the divinity of Jesus, the very fullest kind of revelation of God's very own Son. Second, through the appearance of Moses and Elijah, Peter and James were able to see the very real connection of Jesus' present earthly ministry and journey with the past history of God's chosen people, Israel. Surely this validates for them Jesus' ministry, Jesus' power, the fulfillment of Jesus' calling for the redemption of Israel and all people. And a last, power happened on that mountain. Power for Jesus to continue his journey to the cross, and power for the disciples to continue their journey alongside Jesus. And who can forget Peter's reaction? Lord, it is good for us to be here. How about I build us a place? This is the first building program in the first church. How about I build us a place for each of you? A tent for you, a tent for Moses, a tent for Elijah. Everybody gets a tent. Peter wanted to stay on that mountain forever. And God interrupts, not Jesus. God interrupts and says, "This is my son, the beloved, my beloved. Listen to him." And when they look up, they see that Moses is gone. Elijah, gone. Only Jesus remains on the mountain. And Jesus is no longer bedazzled in bright light and white. Everything had gone back to normal. Or was it? Or is it what we like to say, is there a new normal? Can there really ever be normal again once one has had an encounter with the living, life-giving Lord? Jesus and those three disciples come down from the mountaintop, and there was work yet to be done. For Jesus, the most important work of all, his journey to Calvary's cross, for you and for me, for our sin, for our sake, for our salvation, was yet undone. For Peter, James, and John, they were being, if unknowingly, prepared for what would be some of the most difficult living of their lives. From that mountaintop, they will walk with Jesus through some of Jesus' most difficult days, but they will do so with a clarity of vision, with an underlying trust in Jesus as the Lord of their lives, and with an amazing affirmation that all will be well through God's sustaining Holy Spirit. Have you ever been to a mountaintop? Some of those times when we were skiing in Colorado, we were pretty high up the mountain. You know, one of the things that's pretty unique about mountains is the higher you go up, the less and more sparse is growth. You see, growth doesn't happen on the mountaintop. Growth happens in the valley, where real life is lived, experienced, and redeemed. This is Lent. So what's the big deal about Mardi Gras on the Mount of Transfiguration? Without Mardi Gras, there is no Lent. Oh, I guess there are places around the country where Mardi Gras doesn't mean what it means to us here in New Orleans. But still, somehow, there is a season of excess prior to the beginning of the Lenten season. Many communities around our country use the timing of Mardi Gras for school and church festivals. And believe it or not, on Tuesday, what we call Fat Tuesday is called Shrove Tuesday in many other places. And many, 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 many pancakes are flipped and served. Woohoo! That's how other communities define excess. But we know excess. We write books on excess. We show videos of excess. Wherever your tradition is from, there is usually one great last hurrah before the season of Lent. And in a similar way, without this text of Jesus and without the disciples, if experience what they experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration, there is no call to prepare and ready oneself for the Easter event. Indeed, we live on this side of the resurrection. We know the rest of the story, but the location of this story, that it is in our journey for the last Sunday of Epiphany, reminds us that whatever the road ahead, whatever our call is, as individuals, as the body of Christ, as Aldersgate United Methodist Church, in our community and in the world, we need to have three things. We need to have a clarity of vision. We need to trust that Jesus is along the journey with us. And we need to have certainty in the fullness and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I think this is why March 11th is so important for us. I intentionally put this summit in the middle of Lent, so that we as leaders of this church, participants in this body of Christ, could come and begin to discern our clarity of vision, our trust that Jesus indeed is along on the journey, and that we might come to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to propel us forward. And my hope is that through this time of Lent, each of you, all of you, will fervently pray about your call and how you will answer your call. And that we will move from the mountain of those prayers of calling into the valley of building the kingdom for Jesus Christ. This is my hope and my prayer. May it also be true for you.